shoes and shoes. It's Jesus in the everyday, me and you. The good news and shoes.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
And Women's Fellowship meets the first Saturday of every month for a wonderful time of fellowship, prayer, worship, and sharing. This interdenominational meeting is attended by ladies representing 30 different churches. Come join us for a wonderful breakfast every first Saturday of the month at 9 a.m. in the Truth Church Cafe located at 3891 Edwards Road, Fort Pierce, Florida, 34981. Again, located at 3891 Edwards Road, Fort Pierce, Florida, 34981. Please call ahead and RSVP at 772-464-7012. And that number again is 772-464-7012. Revealing Truth and Ignite Your World Incorporated thanks Joey's Cafe for their underwriting support of this week's broadcast. Joey's Cafe is a family-owned and operated breakfast, lunch, and dinner experience specializing in affordable home-cooked meals. Joey's Cafe is located at 6650 South Highway 1, St. Lucie Square Plaza, a mile and a half north of Prima Vista Boulevard. Good morning. I'm Pastor Bob Tarvis, your host for the Revealing Truth radio broadcast. I want to invite you to listen in today as Pastor Jason Baumgartner takes us on a journey through God's Word that will reveal truths for our lives. John 8:32 says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Grab a pen and take some notes, and let the Holy Spirit reveal the Father's heart to you.
Dream big. Somebody shout, dream big. That's a good place to be, dreaming big. I think a lot of times we don't want to dream big anymore. We don't want to dream at all. We just want to survive. A lot of times we find ourselves in survival mode. Well, if I can just get through today, if I can just get home and sit down in my chair, and if I can just walk in the house and smell the food cooking, then man, it'll be a good day. How many know God didn't intend for you to live that way? God called you to live the dream. Touch somebody and say, I got to live my dream. If you haven't been here for the first part of this series, part one was the place of conception. Where do we conceive our dreams at? That was a few weeks ago. We have that on CD if you want to catch up. We also, last week, we spoke on the place of willingness. And today we'll be going into part three of the series, the place of timing. How many know timing is very important when it comes to your dream? Come on, you can go early and mess everything up. I can bear witness to that. I've jumped the gun on a few things in my life, and what was supposed to be a blessing ended up being a curse. The place of timing. Deuteronomy chapter 1 is where we're going to begin. I mean, the beginning of Deuteronomy is duet, D-E-U-T, duet. It literally means do it again. Tell it again, share it again, do it over again. That word in Deuteronomy means we're going to do it a second time. I'm going to tell the story one more time. I'm going to get the testimony out to you one more time because we really want to get it down in you. And it's Moses. He's writing the Pentateuch, and he's telling the story again. He's telling how creation started, how Adam and Eve ended up in the garden. He's telling the story of Abraham. He's telling the story of Jacob and Isaac and Esau. He's telling the story of Joseph and how they ended up in bondage in Egypt. He's telling it again. Amen. And how many know he told some of this stuff by revelation, and he told some of it by experience because he lived in Egypt in a time of bondage, in a time of slavery. Amen. I mean, there wasn't no books written when Adam and Joseph and them was alive. He was telling a history lesson. Moses was putting it down on paper for all of us to be able to read today. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. He wrote the books. It was Moses that penned, and the Lord said, "Let there be light." Come on, amen. He wasn't there for creation. It came by revelation up on top of a mountain when he was having a chat with God. God told him, he said, I said, let there be light, and there was light. And I created man in my image and woman in my image. God told Moses the creation story. Come on, somebody. That's exciting to me. Don't you think that's exciting? Amen. Some of it is recorded history, like Noah and his ark, the story of Joseph and his brothers. He lived through some of this stuff, and he had firsthand experience with it. How many know that Moses was a very interesting character? He was kind of like the pastor of a church. He was kind of in charge, and he had the authority over the people. And God called him and set him aside to be a leader, to lead a nation of slaves into a place of freedom. He was kind of like a dictator, though. He had complete control. I mean, when Moses drew a line in the sand, he said, get on the right, you got on the right. If you went on the left, you got swallowed up in the sand. There wasn't no voting going on when Moses was running the show. Amen. You can call him whatever you want, but that's what he was. He was in charge. He only answered to God. How many know anytime you're in the process of bringing a group of covenant people out of bondage, that group is never going to get set free by a committee? Come on, I'm just being real with you this morning. Because when you're leading a people out of Pharaoh's control, there has to be a strong enough leader to make decisive decisions, who's got a rod in his hands and the voice of the Lord on his lips. Come on, amen? So it takes a Moses kind of a leader to get somebody out of bondage. It takes a Moses kind of a leader to bring somebody out of Egypt. But how many of you understand this morning, it takes a Joshua kind of a leader to get you into the promised land? It takes a Joshua kind of leader to get you into Canaan. Now, how many know Canaan ain't heaven? The promised land wasn't heaven. Because when you get to heaven, guess what? There's not going to be walled cities and giants that trying to intimidate you. The promised land was the inheritance. You say, well, I'm going to the promised land. Well, expect some conflict. Some would say, I'm going to the promised land. And you get over there and the wilderness look better. I'm going back to the wilderness. But how many of you know it took Joshua and the elders and the commanders of the people to accomplish getting into the promise, to accomplish getting into the land of Canaan? So we need to understand that seasons come and change comes with those seasons when they come. There's elements that come together in our life when the season begins to turn, that God moves you into the place of your new dream. And things change when you move in. It's not going to stay the same. You'll never live the dream if you stay the same. You'll just dream the dream. And you'll think how it could be, how it should be, how it would be. But you'll never be. I want to live the dream. Amen. You know, the worst thing we can do in the body of Christ is to write a manual on how we do it. This is how you do church. This is how you do ushering. This is how you do greeting. This is how you do kids' church. The worst thing we can do is just to put out a manual and say, this is how you do it. Because how many know every time you put a manual out there, the Holy Ghost comes along and says, no, we're doing something new today. It's going to be different than what you thought. I got a whole bookshelf full of manuals in my office that tell you how to do it, how to get the job done. And what I've learned about those is that you could probably glean a little bit of information from them, but really, every church is specific in itself. It has its own life. It has its own calling. It has its own dream. It has its own vision. Amen? Our structure has to fit what God says and what God does. And our structure has to be willing to fluctuate with where God's going, because God's a God that's on the move. That's how we realize our dreams. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 1 verse 6 says, the Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb, saying, ye have dwelt long enough in this mountain. Turn you and take your journey and go to the mount of the Amorites and all the places nigh thereunto in the plain and the hills and in the valley and in the south by the seaside, to the land of the Canaanites and the Lebanon, to the great river, the river Euphrates. Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them and to their seed after them. Let's pray this morning. Father, I thank you this morning for the ability to preach and teach. I thank you for the anointing in this house. Lord, I thank you for the dream that's on the inside of each and every one of these people that are in this house today. Lord, I thank you for the individual dream. I thank you for the corporate dream. I thank you for the vision, God, that comes forth in our lives. Lord, I declare today, God, that we have ears to hear and a heart to receive what you have for us. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we declare this. We give you all glory and honor, praise for what you're about to do in our lives today. In Jesus' name. And everybody said? Amen. Praise the Lord. How many recognize it's easy to fall into a trap where things just kind of get mundane? life kind of loses its zest and loses its appeal, and we're just kind of going through the motions of life. Anybody know what I'm talking about this morning? I mean, if what you're seeing in the windshield is the same thing you see in your rearview mirror, you're going the wrong way. There's a reason why the windshield's bigger than the rearview mirror, because what's in front of you is wide open to you, and what's behind you is getting smaller in your past. Every now and then you need to look up for some reference to see where you've come from, but mostly you need to be looking at the windshield of life. Because what's in front of you is what you got to navigate. Amen. I believe living the dream breaks off cycles of redundancy in our life. I believe when we live the dream, it breaks off the passivity of our life and the complacency of our life, where we keep ending up, where we find ourselves cycling into this place of just ordinary life, ordinary days, ordinary weeks, and time begins to go by so quickly that we look back and we go, where's the week gone? Where's the months gone? And we haven't impacted anything or anybody in our life. And the dreams just lie dormant on the inside of us. We even have some moments of excitement, don't we? We have these highs and these lows, where we get excited about what God's doing, and then the next week we're low. And then we're excited about what God's doing, and then the next week we're low again. And we get in these cycles that seem to just spin in our lives year after year after year. Two steps forward and one steps back, and two steps forward and one step. I mean, sometimes God wants you to take a leap forward. In Hebrews 12, he says, you lay aside the weight and you lay aside the sin that does so easily beset you. That word T-H-E there, the, in the Greek means it's a definite article. It means that we don't get tripped up over the new things in life, but we keep getting tripped up over all the old things in life. It's like we just have a hard time learning our lesson, don't we? That's human nature. Jesus said to his disciples, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to a mountain, be thou removed. Most of us in this life are worried about everybody else's mountain instead of the one to stand in front of us individually. Come on, somebody. We're worried about the mountain that nobody else can get through, and there's one standing right in front of us. I'm just being real with you this morning, and it blocks our dream. It blocks our passion. So what we find is we just keep walking in circles going, look at that mountain they're walking around. I can't believe they keep walking around that mountain. And the whole time we're spinning around our own mountain. Can I get a witness this morning? Can somebody please help me? Amen. How many of you know the trip to the wilderness was not something that was just man ordained? Moses didn't say, I think we're going to go into the wilderness and it's going to be hot and terrible, but we're just going to do it for the fun of it. It's going to be like going to Disney World. That's not really what happened. How many know God sent them into the wilderness? It wasn't an accident. God put them there because he had something that he wanted to teach them. When we read the book of Galatians, we find out the reason that he sent them there. He says he shut them up to faith. He put them in the wilderness to shut them up to faith. Because you know why? It would have been impossible for a group of slaves, for a generation of people that have lived in bondage all their life, to have the understanding of what it meant to inherit a promise. They had a slave mentality. And the only way they were going to learn was to be shut up to faith and stuck in a wilderness where they would be processed in the way that they feel and the way that they think, so that they can believe God for the miracle. The story of the wilderness is not a story of curses, and it wasn't never intended to be that way, even though we see curse after curse after curse coming on the children of Israel. The one thing that we really find out in life is that sometimes what starts out as a blessing in our life turns into a curse. And the reason why it does it is because we stay there too long. We want to keep riding the same wave even though that wave's gone. We want to keep reliving the past revivals and the past moves of God and what God did at camp and what God did in the conference and what God did in the revival. Well, what about what God's doing right now? Because you're not going to be able to recapture the past. And what we've seen is we've seen church after church after church trying to relive the past by imitating the mythology of how they entered into a revival, but they cannot imitate this Spirit of God. Because I want you to know something. God is consistently and constantly doing a new thing. And you can't box up what God's doing and put it in the past and hope to relive something that God did in your life. Won't happen. But people camp out there. They live there. They stay there, and what was meant to be a blessing becomes a curse.
Hello, Bob Tarbus again. We will get back to today's message with Pastor Jason in just a moment. But first, I want to take this opportunity to tell you about some exciting ways that you can support the Revealing Truth radio show. As many of you know, there are substantial costs to producing, editing, and airing a broadcast program. So in an effort to offset some of these costs, we are looking for radio partners that have a desire to see this program continue every day at 11:30 a.m. Our goal is to raise the monthly support needed to keep this message on the air. Maybe you can commit to $5 per month, maybe $20, or even $100 per month. You may just want to make a one-time gift for any amount. Or you may want to have underwriting spots on the program. I ask that you pray and seek the Lord for what you can do. If you hear the call from the Lord to partner with us, please contact Beverly Young at 772-461-8555. Again, please contact Beverly Young at 772-461-8555. Thank you so much for whatever you can do to keep us on the air. And now, let's get back to this timely message with Pastor Jason Baumgartner. Into the darkness you shine.
Out of the ashes we rise. How do you know when the children of Israel went to Egypt? Joseph was the second in charge of the whole nation. Egypt was a blessing to the children of Israel. Egypt saved the lives of the children of Israel. He fed the children of Israel so much so that Joseph, all of his brothers, and his father all moved to Egypt. It started out as a blessing, but 400 years later, because they stayed in Egypt too long, they were making bricks out of hay. Joseph started out to save his family. It was a blessing. But when you stay somewhere longer than you should, and you get dependent, and you get codependent living where you are, rather than having a willingness to keep moving forward, you end up making bricks. You're going to become lethargic, complacent. Your fire's going to die. Come on, somebody help me. Amen. And what was meant to be a blessing becomes bondage. They went into Egypt to free people, bless people. 400 years later, they came out as slaves making bricks. I mean, think about that. I mean, recognize in America, welfare was not something to be ashamed of when they first started having welfare. Come on, amen. Welfare wasn't a bad thing. Welfare was a blessing. Welfare was set up in the United States government to help people get over troubled times. It was a bridge to get over troubled waters. It was to help people that were struggling, that were coming out of the war, that had no place to live and no place to eat. And it was just to help them get back on their feet so that they could be blessed and get a job and start taking care of themselves. But now we've had generation after generation after generation of people living in the welfare system, and what was meant to be a blessing has become a curse, and people can't get out of it. Because they stayed there too long. Oh, Jesus. They trusted in something else as their source other than God. See, that sickness takes place in the church, because now we have churches that are all super prosperity churches, and people just come to church for the blessing. They keep looking for the blessing, the blessing, the blessing, the blessing, the blessing of God, the blessing of God. And what we find now is that we've got a generation of people that are seeking the blessing of God and not seeking God. Oh, Jesus, help us. Sometimes we spend too long in a place, and what was a blessing keeps us from doing what God called us to do and begins to hamper the dream. That same revival that brought you in can later in your life become an obstacle in your life to keep you from moving forward. The greatest resistance to the incoming move of God is the outcoming move of God. Come on, how many know down at the beach when the wave rolls in, the greatest resistance to the wave rolling in is the wave rolling out? They clash right there on the sand, don't they? Come on, amen. Most of the time, the people that fight what God's doing today are the very same people that God was using in tremendous ways previously. The very same people that God was working through, the very same people that God was moving in power and supernatural, and now they become the resistance. Well, that's not God. That's not the way God did it when I was doing it. That's not the way God was doing it when I was a kid. That's not the way we had revival when we had revival. Oh no, I don't think that's from God. Why don't you stop worrying about what's from God and just plug into what God's called you to do? Come on, somebody. Amen. The Bible says, so God sent them into a wilderness, because if they had gone straight to the promised land and seen what was in the promised land with the war and the giants, their hearts would have melted because they were slaves. They had a slave mentality. So God took them by the way of the wilderness. Come on, amen? He took them by the way of the wilderness. But I mean, there comes a day when God says, I'm moving you now. I'm moving you out of this thing. I'm taking you out of the wilderness. I'm taking you out of this season. And I'm shifting you into the new thing. I'm shifting you into the dream. I'm shifting you into the new season. How many know that happened 2 years after they got there? We've all heard the story. They spent 40 years in the wilderness. But how many know 2 years after they got there, they were on the border of the promised land? We know the story, don't we? 12 spies went in. 10 came out with an evil report. 2 came out with a good report. And they believed the 10. Wanted to kill the 2. I spent another 38 years in the wilderness. Come on, amen. When they first came out, God gave them these laws. He brought them to the mountain of God. He brought them to a place where they could get their heart right, where they could be purged, where they could get this thing out of their heart. And he said, when the mountain begins to shake and you hear my voice begin to tremble, run to the mountain. But the Bible says that when the mountain began to shake, they ran the other way. And instead of drawing near to God, they ran from God. They were afraid of God because they had a slave mentality. And it took 38 years, it took a generation of people to die off before the mentality could change. Before they could assume the promise. Come on, we know the story, amen? They got to the border and they were afraid of the giants. And it wasn't the fact that they were afraid because they were so big. They were afraid because they didn't want to be a giant. They didn't want to step into the maturity that it would take to have the promised land. I mean, to live the dream, you've got to step into maturity. See, we want the benefit of the wilderness. We want the benefit of the manna. We want the benefit of the stuff falling out of the sky that we can just pick up off the ground. But to really live the dream, God says, no, I'm cutting that source off. If you're going to live the dream and possess the land, then you're going to have to plant some seed in the ground, and you're going to have to harvest that seed and take care of yourself. You're going to have to possess it. Somebody say, I got to possess it. And what we see a generation of people that were unwilling to do what it took to step into the next dimension of their dream. They were afraid. They were scared. Numbers 13 says this, the land that we're about to go is a land that devours its inhabitants, for the people there are of great stature, and there we saw giants also. That sounds a little redundant. Well, what are they talking about? That word stature there is the same word used in the book of Ephesians chapter 4. And it means a full measure of maturity. The people there were very mature and they were giants is what they were saying. Come on, amen. They weren't talking just about physical height. How many know that wouldn't intimidate the children of Israel? Every giant in the promised land knew who the children of Israel was. They knew they were camping out in the desert. They knew that the children of Israel just left Egypt. And the entire Egyptian army, the strongest force on the face of the planet, was wiped out before them. And God was on their side. Of course the inhabitants of the promised land knew who the children of Israel were. It wasn't a question of how big they were. It was a question of what it was going to take to possess the land. Can I just say this to you this morning? It's going to take you possessing your dream. Otherwise, we cycle through the wilderness.
Thank you for joining us today for the Revealing Truth with Pastor Jason Baumgartner. We hope you will tune in again each day, Monday through Friday at 11:30 a.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 FM. To obtain your copy of this week's message, please send your check for $5 for shipping and handling to 3891 Edwards Road, Fort Pierce, Florida 34981. To pay by phone or simply make a love gift, you can call 772-461-8555. That number again is 772-461-8555. For more exciting information on our church, service times, and directions, you can check us out on the web at igniteyourworld.com. This has been the Revealing Truth with Pastor Jason Baumgartner, and I'm your host, Bob Tarvis. See you next time on the Revealing Truth. Hallelujah.
Have you been hurting from addiction? Past hurts, fear, insecurity? Maybe your marriage is falling apart or your kids seem distant. If any of this sounds familiar, then it's time to break free from the chains, pains, and stains of the past. 2 Corinthians 3:17 declares, "Now the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." Breakaway Recovery Group meets every Friday night at 7 p.m. in the Truth Church Cafe. Come out for a great worship experience, sound teaching, small groups, and coffee. Don't you think it's time to be free from everything that's held you back? Truth Church is located at 3891 Edwards Road in Fort Pierce, 34981. For more information, please call 772-461-8555.
Golden Rule Academy, K-12 Private Christian School. As parents, you want to make the best choice to empower your child to succeed. At Golden Rule Academy, we have the same goal. Let us help you educate and inspire your children to dream big. We offer accelerated curriculum, reasonable class sizes, caring and involved instructors, as well as art, music, physical ed, tutoring, and extracurricular music lessons, and of course, sports programs including high school football. Our mission is to build confidence and to teach a love for learning. Golden Rule Academy is now enrolling for the 2012-2013 school year. Space is limited and scholarships are available for qualifying students. You can reach our office at 772-464-1597. That number again is 772-464-1597.
Ignite Your World Ministries, Truth Church, and all its affiliate ministries thanks Destiny Network and Bishop Tony Miller. Destiny Network International exists to serve pastors, local churches, and ministry leaders that make up Destiny Network International. For more information on joining the Destiny Network, go to www.destinynetwork.org.
This is Tom Creighton, station manager of WCNO Radio. Most of you know that WCNO Radio is a listener-supported ministry. But do you know that much of our programming is made possible by corporate underwriting? Christian businessmen and women who sponsor this ministry monthly with a financial commitment that allows us to continue bringing you the music and message of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In return, we play sponsorship announcements that let the listeners know who our sponsors are, what they do, what products and services they provide, and if our listeners wish, how they may contact those sponsors. So if you're a Christian business person, why not join us as a partner in ministry today? For free, no obligation information on the corporate underwriting program, we're available at 772-221-1100. That number again, 772-221-1100.